coming to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta. This is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
Oh, do waiting periods save lives, folks? Does a three-day Brady waiting period save lives?
That sounds like something out of high school.
Yeah, I mean,
you know how they used to give you a two-hour cooling-off period?
Listen, I mean, all liberal theory sounds great. Oh, can't we all just get along? No! We can't. We won't. Grow up. We're not going to all just get along. We're human beings. So the answer to that is no. Do Brady waiting periods wait? Wait. Yeah, they wait. Do Brady waiting periods work?
No.
We'll prove that to you in a few minutes. Folks, we have a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about. Bonehead of the week. I quoted at the beginning of the first hour of the show. Among the impediments are that we view gun ownership as an individual right and that gun violence has not yet become so unacceptable that we would impinge on those rights for the common good. In short, we accept a certain level of gun violence. Bonehead of the week, Minneapolis, come on. Write letters. Do what you need to do. Your police chief, Timothy J. Dolan, from the StarTribune.com. Minneapolis police chief. More guns? Frankly, that's preposterous. Statistics show that it's exactly the wrong strategy for America. David Kodry, a gun rights blogger extraordinaire, is here to discuss some of these things with me. Is he not, Sean?
Yes, he is.
Let's bring him in right away. David Kodry, how you doing?
I'm cold, but I'm warming up. It was 28 in my room when I started talking to Sean. We got it up to 31 now, so at the end of the hour, you can ask me how warm it is, and I'll tell you how good my new propane heater is.
31 Gore, wow. From 28 to 31 Gore. Now, you're up in where? Hudson, Ohio, right?
Yes, I am.
Now, you got buried by this hysterical mainstream media-driven storm. You got the gargantuan, the devastation, the paralyzing, in all the other words. It's winter time.
Well, and it's all caused, of course, by global warming.
Nope. Correction.
But I'm here with my cigar, adding to the carbon footprint.
There you go. Thank you very much. Go start your truck in the driveway and let it run while it warms up. That might help,
That's
too.
Great stuff.
But it's not global warming anymore. No, it's not. It's climate change. That encompasses everything. Now we can blame everything on it. It's climate change. See, and people... David, I catch some flack from time to time. What does all this have to do with guns? What has to do with freedom? We have a number of stories I'd like to tie together. But before we do that, I'm going to bring George Hill, the Mad Ogre, in from Utah. George, the Mad Ogre, complete the triangle across the nation for us today. How you doing?
It is a pleasure and a privilege, as always, Mark. Yes, yeah, our pipes are frozen because it's too dang hot. Absolutely.
Oh, I love it. Folks, let me direct the conversation here. Some stories that are floating around, David, I want to go to you and get your take on this. I gave the bonehead of the week this week on Armed American Radio goes to Timothy J. Dolan. He is Minneapolis police chief. Chiefs, as we know, are generally anti-gun. Sheriffs tend to be pro-gun. Sheriffs are an elected official. Police chiefs are appointed generally by mayors or city councils and recommended by mayors. So it's a political position. Now, the mayor of Minneapolis, do you want to take this part, David, and talk about a little bit about the mayor of Minneapolis? Because when I saw this story and I saw these ridiculous statistics quoted by this police chief, I immediately went to the Minneapolis website, pulled up the mayor, found out he was a proud member of Mayors Against Illegal Guns.
Is he one of the criminal mayors against illegal guns? You know, there have been about 8 or 9 of them that have come out in the last year or so.
Don't know. Haven't had enough time to do some research. Literally, the boneheads were lining up this week, David, and I didn't even make a decision until I sat down here and poured through some paperwork. I could have gone a million different directions with this.
Yeah, well, you know, Mark, I really don't know the mayor of Minneapolis. He's not my mayor, and quite honestly, I haven't been paying attention to a lot of his more recent shenanigans, aside from the fact that he came out as part of MAIG. But what really stood out for me on the Dolan commentary okay, where he considers, you know, freedom to be an impediment, isn't that telling, is he made a statement at the very end about the NRA, and he's saying, well, NRA, as we all know, doesn't like police chiefs very well. And I thought, you know, somebody ought to call up former NRA president and former assistant police chief of Des Moines, Iowa, I believe, Kane Robinson, and
Thank
tell
you.
Him that he's self-loathing.
Right. Thank you. Because he does say that. He says they're already weaker political voices overwhelmed by the influence of NRA rhetoric and dollars, and he's talking about poor, underprivileged. And he goes on to say that they don't like police chiefs, the NRA doesn't generally support police chiefs or like them. And the fact of the matter is that the quote that I read, and I quote again, among the impediments are that we view gun ownership as an individual right. Now, this is a police chief, an anti-gun police chief. Of course, unless you're an elitist, unless you're an officer, or unless you're somebody that he knows or feels should have a gun.
Well,
the
impediment. NRA has some of the, you know, most comprehensive police training of
right.
any organization in the nation, and they were also instrumental in helping to get a fledgling organization called LEAA, Law Enforcement Alliance of America, off the ground and supporting, you know, their issues and things
right.
of that nature. So, and the other thing is to talk about, well, NRA dollars, and that's what the AstroTurfers always try to disparage, is the true grassroots, because NRA just doesn't sit there with the NRA dollars. You know, the NRA is made up of 4 million members who contribute and who support the association and, you know, allow the association to essentially represent their interests.
Well articulated. Zach's absolutely correct. That's why you're here. Let's dig in a little bit deeper into this, shall we, David?
Sure.
On the column, you've read the column, More Guns. Frankly, that's preposterous. Let's quote some of Police Chief Dolan here. If law enforcement professionals, and I quote, believed that guns were the answer to reducing crime, your nation's police chiefs would be leading the charge for more guns. Here are some well-known facts you will not hear from the NRA. Number one, fewer than 1% of gun deaths in the United States involve self-defense. The majority are homicides, suicides, and accidents. You want to tackle that one?
Well, yeah, because essentially so many of the gun defenses, the defensive gun uses in this country, we all know, simply the presentation of a firearm is enough to call off an attack. That guns, in fact, preserve the peace and enhance the peace, as opposed to, you know, the criminal misuse of guns. And when you're talking about these homicides, you know, how many of these homicides are you talking about where they're criminal involvements or justifiable? You know, I mean, you can take statistics and do anything you want, but the raw fact of the matter is most defensive gun uses do not involve firing a shot or killing someone.
That's absolutely correct. Thank you very much for that. Again, well spoken. The fact of the matter is I'm one of the statistics of having pulled a firearm in defense of my life without having to fire a shot. And if you take famed researcher Gary Kleck's statistics at 2 to 2.5 million, the number comes out to about 5,500 or 5,400 defensive gun uses per day. If you use those statistics, again, statistics, we can argue statistics all day long because we can pick and choose whatever we want from them. Epidemiologists at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine found that those without guns are 4 times safer than those with guns when confronted by an armed assailant. There you are.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I have no idea. You know, it's like that the Dos Equis commercial with the most interesting man in the world, where they have that word about man watching or whatever. And he said, I have no idea. Okay, I don't know what these people are talking about, and I don't know what incidents they're referring to. It makes absolutely no sense to me.
These are the same people. Wait a minute, George. These are the same people who said they've saved or created 3 million jobs. Go ahead, George.
Well, you know, when you look at reasonable gun control measures in the foundational cities where the enlightened tend to gather, such as Detroit and Chicago and Washington, D.C., we see how peaceful these cities are because of gun control and how reasonable and how, you know, the honest people don't need guns to protect themselves. So you know, we can see this from looking at crime statistics, right? That don't crime statistics point out that gun control saves lives?
Yeah, we've had John Lott on the program many times. We could dig very, very deeply into the third edition of More Guns, Less Crime, where he's had 20 years to research, and it's irrefutable. But listen to the last one before we go to a break. Gun death rates are highest in the states with the highest ratios of gun ownership. Hey, guess what? Club deaths were highest in the caves of cave owners with clubs. We'll be right back to discuss these further.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS that you can't afford to pay? Or are you stuck in a tax payment plan that is getting you nowhere? The IRS is now taking very aggressive actions, such as bank levies and wage garnishments. If you owe the IRS at least $15,000, call American Tax Relief. They've helped thousands of people like you eliminate up to 85% of their delinquent taxes. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, American Tax Relief can settle your debts for less than you owe, remove penalties and interest, and protect you from bank levies and garnishments. As a hardworking American, you do have rights. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, you can save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Call right now. 1-800-605-3241. That's 1-800-605-3241.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com.
Extreme Shock has done it again with the 223 AFR designed specifically for the urban environment. Imagine a 30-grain rifle round moving at 3,100 feet per second, whose frangible characteristics virtually eliminate ricochet and over-penetration within a limited space, making the Extreme Shock 223 AFR one of the safest rifle cartridges ever manufactured for home defense. For more information and to purchase the Extreme Shock 223 AFR, visit ExtremeShockUSA.net. That's ExtremeShockUSA.net.
Hi, I'm retired Navy SEAL Larry Yatch. Do you have a son or daughter in college or heading to college? College students face a 1 in 4 chance of being assaulted, yet the majority of colleges do not allow firearms on campus. Sealed Mindset's 15 Seconds to Safety online program will arm your children with the knowledge to identify problems and the actions necessary to stay safe. Protect your loved ones now at www.sealedmindset.com. That's www.sealedmindset.com.
This hour of Armed American Radio is proudly being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, the GOA, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Join the Gun Owners of America, folks, at gunowners.org. I did. Welcome back.
We're having a little bit of a discussion about some of the points brought up by Minneapolis, Minnesota anti-gun police chief Timothy Dolan, who wins this week's Armed American Radio's Bonehead of the Week Award. And we have a lot of listeners in Minneapolis on 1280 AM The Patriot. We love you folks up there. Your gun hate, your police chief hates your freedoms and hates your gun rights, folks. He doesn't believe you have a right to own a gun. And I don't care what he says, but he states it right here. Among the impediments, he considers your constitutional right an impediment. David Kodria, welcome back. That's a very bold statement to make. Do we have David?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Good. That's a bold statement to make, and it tells a lot when you hear somebody in a position of authority say, among the impediments are that we view. The impediments to the Constitution is what he's referring to.
And he's also referring to his employers. He's referring to the citizens who believe unbendingly in the Second Amendment.
That is absolutely
their right
correct.
To bear arms.
All right, we mentioned when we went to a break, I made a little joke, gun death rates are highest in the states with the highest ratios of gun ownership. I said, well, caveman deaths is what I was getting at. With clubs, we're highest in caves with clubs. I mean, this is an absolutely ridiculous statistics. We could go ahead, David. I'll turn that over to you.
I believe it's a false statistic, and what I'd really like to do, I have a little hypothesis I'll test out on you, and you see if it makes sense to you, and what I'd really like to do is put it to someone who's knowledgeable, like John Lott, about statistics and numbers.
Right.
I think that more accurately, they might want to state gun possession as opposed to gun ownership, because as we know, the highest rates of gun deaths and murders and suicides takes part in the criminal community, and these are all technically prohibited persons, and ownership is a legal term.
Well, so, he would prove, let me put it this way. We're jumping ahead. I'm glad you mentioned the point, because let's jump ahead. The next one he states, fatal police shootings increased last year by 40%. Fatal police shootings increased by criminals with guns. Now, what he's trying to say to you is, ladies and gentlemen, is that without guns, we wouldn't have had police fatal, 40% increase in police shootings. In other words, you don't need a gun. That's the argument that he's making. That's where he's going with this. So, these are the same people that I guarantee he's probably said, look, I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in your right to own a firearm, but once you hear the but, folks, look, let's not do the John Kerry dance around here again, okay? Let's not do the Barack Obama. He's all of a sudden a supporter of the Second Amendment. Come on, come on, come on. Of the 23 highest income per capita countries in the world, the U.S. has 80% of all gun deaths. The U.S. gun homicide rate is 20 times higher than that of the rest of the sample. You want to tackle that one?
Well, again, you have to take a look at what populations are you talking about, and I would submit that it is those populations that are most vulnerable to government interference in their freedom and in their decisions and in their lives where this is occurring. And you could take the most highly armed population on the planet, which is the membership of the NRA, and why don't we compare ours, okay, to the rest of the world? And I guarantee you we are going to prove out to be more peaceable than
Absolutely.
Gun-free Japan. Okay, so, you can't just take a population that is not homogenous, okay, that it's like, you're talking about America is falling behind foreign countries in schools. Well, where, okay?
Right.
Are we talking urban areas, or where is it that we're talking about?
Yeah, the point that we're trying to make with this, ladies and gentlemen, is that these are baseless. These statistics that he's throwing out to you are baseless, because I can give you a million other ones. We just simply don't have time. John Lott's done it. Read his book, More Guns, Less Crimes, The Evidence. More Guns, Less Crime, The Evidence is Irrefutable. We just simply don't have time to go into it. We wanted to point out to you that this is the anti-gun police chief in Minneapolis, Timothy Dolan. This is why he picks up this week's Bonehead of the Week Award. But in particular, he picks it up because of his statement, among the impediments are that we view gun. The impediment that he's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. That's an impediment to him.
I'd really like to know just how much his department has benefited from the National Rifle Association's training programs.
Well, George, that's a great point, but here's the deal. The rank and file officers, better than 90% of his rank and file officers, do not agree with him. I would be willing to bet you money on it.
Oh, of course they don't. Of course,
and we
they
find
don't.
That to be the case across the country and in police departments across the nation. The rank and file officer believes in the individual right to keep and bear arms. We know that. We've talked to them, and we will continue to talk to them. We're big fans of law enforcement on this program, and it's very disheartening to see this. But it's amazing because the correlation here, you tend not to see this with sheriffs because a sheriff is an elected official. But with police chiefs, you tend to see this, especially in larger cities across the country where the mayors are Democrat, left, anti-gun, and the police chief is an appointed position. It's a political position. So it's not unusual to see this. Okay, we'll move on from that. David, I want to get your perspective. Tampa, Florida, you've seen the story about the horrible murders of the 50-year-old woman, who I won't name, literally in my old neighborhood, who shot and killed her 13-year-old son because he was mouthing off, and then got home and shot and killed her 16-year-old daughter because she was mouthy. This was a pre-planned, premeditated murder. They have the writings. They've seen the journals. They know the dates and times. They also know for a fact at this point that she put off committing the crime when she found out she had to wait 3 days to pick up a gun. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in Florida, there's a 3-day wait unless you are a holder of a Florida concealed weapons permit, which she obviously was not. Therefore, how effective, David, is a 3-day wait?
Well, you know, I have plenty of guns, okay? If I have to go through a 3-day wait to buy a new one, what's going to stop me, first of all, from, you know, using one of my existing guns? 3-day waiting periods, they call them cooling off periods. There were 5-day waiting periods in the original Brady bill, I believe, before NICS came online. And it just falls into the anti-gunner's argument that, you know what, if 5 days are good, then 5 weeks is better, and 5 months, and 5 years. You know, what's the arbitrary line that there's this magic line where you're somehow going to cool off and not go out and do something evil? Evil people are going to find a way to do it. And, you know, the very first thing I thought of when you sent me that story, Mark, is I said, Bonnie El-Masri. And most people don't realize that name. And it's been some time since I'd, you know, looked up anything on her. And so I found that link and I sent it to you. And she was a lady, and I think this was back in 1991, and she lived in an area that had, I believe, a 48-hour waiting period, and she had an ex-spouse, I believe, with a restraining order, and he was hostile, and she wanted to get a gun, and the person told her, well, you know, you have to wait 48 hours, and 24 hours later, she was dead, killed by the person who did not respect the piece of paper that the judge issued to tell him to stay away. So, you know, waiting periods can kill.
Works both ways. Your response to the email when I sent you the Tampa story was exactly what I expected from you. You know, quick wit, instantaneous response. Yeah, it works both ways. Folks, I'm holding the story that he has here, and I've got a list of about 7 or 8 others right here that tell the same story. Bonnie's story, March 5th, 91, called a firearms instructor, worried her husband, who was subject to a restraining order, was going to harm her and her children. She was advised there was a 48-hour waiting period to buy a gun. Less than 24 hours later, she was dead. There's your waiting period for you. Compare that to what happened in Tampa and do the math. How about that one, Timothy J. Dolan? Want to talk about that, too? This is the Armed American Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
With consumers still looking to save money wherever they can, getting the most out of their cars continues to be very important. Jody DeVere, president of Women's Automotive Association International, knows that using quality products in your car today can help save money in the long run.
Motor oil is called the lifeblood of your car's engine and one of the most important ways you can protect your investment. But all motor oils are not the same.
DeVere recommends asking for a high-quality oil by name because Pennzoil and Quaker State, for example, invest heavily in comprehensive product testing and are formulated to meet the demands of today's engines.
Don't leave the oil choice to the person behind the counter, because using a high-quality motor oil in the right grade can help maximize fuel economy, minimize emissions, and help save money by preventing costly engine damage.
For more information about the importance of high-quality motor oil, visit motoroilmatters.org. I'm Ron Javers.
At a parent-teacher meeting, Julie worried aloud about her preschooler. "I see Monique on the playground, and she's, well, stubborn," Julie told the teacher. "She waits for others to invite her in, then she wants everything her way, or she pouts." A thought struck Julie. Her own behavior at work was just like Monique's. Julie was slow to initiate, slow to compromise, or share. When people's projects failed to go her way, she acted like, well, like her daughter on the playground. But she could change. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. From the playground to the office to the boardroom, the same essentials identify a team player: openness, generosity, flexibility, and patience. Julie changed. Can you? It's the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, I'm country music singer and host of Three Gun Nation, Mark Wills. You know, I rank my firearms freedoms right up there with my passion for music. And I'm looking very forward to joining my good friend, Mark Walters, in the Armed American Radio Studios as a guest co-host coming up in February. We'll talk about guns, music, and freedom. It don't get any better than this.
Trouble always finds me.
Trouble always finds me, right? We're talking with gun rights blogger David Kodria and the Mad Ogre, regular contributor of the program, George Hill. George, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Mark.
I want to pick up on that story where we left off on that story down in Tampa, Florida. That story hit home to me. That double murder occurred literally hundreds of yards from my old home, literally my neighborhood down the road from me. And what got me about that story more than anything else, George, was yet again, here comes the mainstream media, and I'll get David's opinion on this too, that as I read these stories and as I watch this Nancy Grace, everybody's talking about how much the house costs, what the value of the home is, what kind of car she had, a Mercedes, and Nancy Grace, pan back, show the picture there, Andrea, of that house. Look at that beautiful home. It looks like an indoor pool there, surrounded by all these mansions. They're not mansions. Okay? It's a nice neighborhood. It's a gated community. Woohoo. What struck me about that, George,
and evil don't they don't go hand in hand. Just because somebody has more money than somebody else doesn't mean that person is evil. And if I grew up reading articles by guys like Posada Yu talking about the waiting period and how the waiting period force somebody to not get a gun when they could have, when they wanted to, when they were, felt threatened. And, they, of course, were killed by the threat. And, the fact that they had a pool or not makes no difference.
Well, it stinks of elitism to me is the point that I'm trying to make. That,
exactly.
And here's my question to Nancy Grace and to every other reporter that mentioned it, which was virtually all of them, and to everybody who wrote a column about it, which was virtually all of them. Where's the income cutoff that a crime like this doesn't occur? Where's the income cutoff? Would somebody please explain to me why someone would write in a Fox 13 Tampa Bay news story the value of this person's home when we're talking about the murder of her two beautiful kids, her 13-year-old boy on the way to soccer practice, and the 16-year-old girl sitting at home at her desk in her home, safe at her home, doing her homework, murdered by an obvious psychopath who happens to horribly, terribly, sadly, her mother, her own mother. Where in the heck does the value of the home come into this? And what she drove when she was arrested or involved in a hit and run 2 years ago, what in the world does that have to do with this? What that has to do with is a media who is extremely dangerous right now, pushing a political agenda in this country, whose reporters probably tend to live in nicer areas. And to them, it's like, I can't believe that this happened in this neighborhood. How could this happen in this neighborhood? Which proves my point exactly, because I used to live in that neighborhood. That it's always not nice. It's not always nice. Because you see, right down the road from her home in the entrance to her neighborhood is a public supermarket where a carjacking occurred in about the year 2000 when I first bought my house down there. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday, the car was stolen and found later at a rest area 5 miles up the road in a little area called Wesley Chapel, north of the New Tampa area where the crime occurred. And it had been used in a robbery. Crime doesn't happen in those neighborhoods, does it? The elitism, it stinks of it. David, where am I going wrong here? What does the value of the house have and the car she drives have to do with this crime?
I bet you Nancy goes home to a pretty nice crib.
And, you better believe it.
Okay. And I think we have the rich socialists. It seems like a dichotomy, but you have Sean Penn going down to praise Hugo Chavez.
Right.
And one of the things I've said to people before when I don't need a gun. I live in a nice neighborhood. And my response to that is, I bet you Sharon Tate lived in a pretty nice neighborhood, too.
Right. That's a great point. And the socialist aspect of it is really telling. It's just elitism. It stinks of elitism. I read this and I thought, I'm so sick and tired of watching the mainstream media do this.
Nancy Grace, she was a prosecutor before an anchor, right? Or a television personality, and a lawyer and a student, and it doesn't sound like we're talking about flyover country, heartland America, who might have delivered papers or worked behind the counter at the fast food place, and maybe worked in a factory or a warehouse going to college, and doing the things that a lot of us did as we were growing up and growing into where we could finally afford a home.
Yeah, unbelievable stuff. Okay, David, so much to cover. You recently broke a story. Talk to us about I call it the BATFE, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Expletives, because of what I see from them. It just makes you crazy. And here we have a story that you broke, and you've termed it Project Gunwalker. Fascinating. It has been picked up by Senator Grassley now, and it has been picked up by Fox News, and it is beginning to get more media attention. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, it's actually starting to go viral. It's getting legs. It's been picked up by the Associated Press. It's been picked up by the Los Angeles Times. It's been picked up by the Arizona Republic and USA Today. And essentially what this is, Mark, I have for a long time been watching, ATF, as most people in the gun rights movement have. And a few years ago, a website called cleanupatf.org made its presence known. And these were agency insiders who were absolutely dismayed with the way they saw the agency being run, with corruption, with incompetence, with abuse, with waste, with fraud, with perjury. And these are all charges that these folks are making on their website, and they have a forum where they get together and they discuss things. And we saw some rather shocking allegations come up on this forum. And at first, you know, you're wondering, well, you know, is this disinformation? Is this, you know, are these just disgruntled people? What is going on here? And some of the charges that they made included, you know, that ATF has their Southwest Border Initiative, which includes Project Gunrunner, which is designed to interdict and stop the what they call flow of American arms to Mexico. Well, you know, that's a whole nother story that we could get into and derail from this conversation. But the bottom line was that the charges that were being leveled, the allegations were that, number one, ATF management was willingly allowing firearms to be transported across to Mexico in order to pad their numbers and statistics so that they could justify budget, so that they could justify increased scope of power, such as the multiple long gun registration that they want to have implemented on the Southwest border gun shops and things of that nature. And, you know, at first you're looking at this and you're thinking, okay, well, you know, sometimes people do sting operations in law enforcement where they will, you know, follow contraband to a source and then they'll bust the Mr. Big at the end. So, you know, is this possibly something like this? But then you start taking a look at the sheer numbers that were being alleged, and at first it was 500 that I was seeing, and now I'm seeing things up to over 2,000. But the real kicker on this was the allegation that the Mexican government was being kept out of the loop, which is a violation of our law, a violation of their law, a violation of treaty. One friend described it as an act of war. And there was another allegation that the attaché down in Mexico, the U.S. attaché down in Mexico, was horrified when he found out about this. He complained to the Phoenix office that the Mexican authorities had to be notified, and they overruled him and said, no, you couldn't. And so he went over their heads and complained to Washington, D.C., and at the very highest levels, he was told no, and this ended up forcing his retirement in December. And then there was another further shocking allegation, and that was in December, a United States Border Control agent.
David, I need you to hold on to that one. Let's when we come back from the break, let's talk about that one. But I want to point listeners out to the fact that two of the guns that were allowed across the border by the ATF were found at the scene of a killing of a U.S. border guard recently. We'll discuss it in detail when we come back on the Armed American Radio Network.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-412-7799. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-412-7799. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-412-7799. That's 1-866-412-7799.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us
who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
If you're looking for a small pocket gun that delivers the power of a .32 ACP with less recoil, you found it in the North American Arms 25 NAA Guardian. Like its larger cousin, the .32 NAA Guardian, the 25 NAA outperforms many larger guns. At 1,200 feet per second, the 25 NAA delivers 20% more energy than larger .32 ACP cartridges, making it the perfect choice when a smaller pocket pistol is required for your carry needs. For more information on the 25 NAA Guardian, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
Extreme Shock has done it again with the 223 AFR designed specifically for the urban environment. Imagine a 30-grain rifle round moving at 3,100 feet per second, whose frangible characteristics virtually eliminate ricochet and overpenetration within a limited space, making the Extreme Shock 223 AFR one of the safest rifle cartridges ever manufactured for home defense. For more information and to purchase the Extreme Shock 223 AFR, visit ExtremeShockUSA.net. That's ExtremeShockUSA.net. Whether you're enjoying a day at the range or out in the field on the hunt of a lifetime, you need the Allegiance On-Duty TRP Trauma Readiness Pack. The TRP is much more than a traditional first aid kit and contains everything you need in an emergency to save a life. Airtight, sterile, and waterproof, the TRP is a must-have for every shooter's bag, backpack, ATV, boat, or home. For your TRP emergency pack, visit ExtremeShockUSA.net. That's ExtremeShockUSA.net.
Hi, this is Bill Bennett, and you're listening to Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, redefining weekend talk radio.
And we're back with David Kodria and George Mad Ogre Hill on the Armed American Radio Network. David, I want to continue with that story about ATF through this segment. I hate the fact we're going to run out of time quickly because it's such an important story, but was I right when I led into the break that two of those weapons were in fact found by the near the body of the murdered U.S. Border Patrol agent?
That is what is now being reported in the Los Angeles Times by a reporter that I personally have been trying to recruit and get into this for about 2 weeks now, okay? And this is what the allegations were that Mike Vanderbeau, and I want to just, you know, make that clear. This is not just, you know, David Kodria doing this. Actually, a lot of the good original information was first picked up through his contacts by Mike Vanderbeau over at Sipsey Street Irregulars, and we have been working as a team throughout this effort. And in fact, so now we have these wild allegations that first are made on cleanupatf.org, and what happened then were because we have been constantly working towards exposing ATF corruption and supporting the work at Cleanup ATF and calling for congressional oversight hearings, and because we have a track record of doing that and we have a lot of various contacts, some of the quote-unquote dissident agents approached us. And, of course, we had to go through the whole vetting process to make sure that we weren't being played, that these folks were who they said they were, that in fact, this was not disinformation that we were getting. And we went through a big process of due diligence that I don't have time to go into right now in this segment. But the bottom line is we established for ourselves that these guys were the real deal, and we needed to get them protection. And that began a whole new adventure in pulling teeth, going through Senate staffers and passing the hot potato until they finally got us to where we needed to go, and that was to Senator Grassley's office. And we got our guys in to talk to him, and they provided enough testimony and documentation that resulted in him writing a letter to ATF Acting Director Melson saying, we've looked at what these guys are saying, and it appears credible, and on top of that, there is corroborating documentation.
Yeah, and basically, then, they're saying, what Grassley is saying, what are you going to do about it? Don't stonewall me on this, right?
Yes, and of course, 4 days later, he followed it up with another letter, more strongly worded. He copied Attorney General Eric Holder on it, and he cautioned ATF that we're hearing about retaliation, and you need to understand that whistleblowers are patriotic Americans, and you also need to understand that interfering with a congressional investigation is a crime. Well, that is just very strong language, and you know, I read that, and it was just, you know, amazing. And so we posted these. Mike first posted it on Sipsey Street Irregulars, and he gave it to me. I'd actually turned them into JPEGs for him so that he could post it on Sipsey Street. And then I posted the actual PDF files of the letters on Scribd. And at this point, now you have to understand that throughout all of this, we had been screaming and waving our arms and trying to get reporters from the mainstream media involved in this because, you know, quite candidly, we don't have the juice to make this break as a national story of and by ourselves. You know,
well,
we
have you've already done that now. And this thing is as more credible evidence begins to come out, incriminating evidence begins to come out, as it is. And let's face it, listen, it has to do with guns. It has to do with some startling allegations, and it has to do with the ATF. Okay? This has all of the ingredients to get some pretty big legs. And it looks like with the Los Angeles Times involved, with Fox News involved, with Senate staffers and Grassley himself involved, that this is going to continue to steamroll. And there's, you know.
Well, I would have to qualify that and say that it is still going to be a managed effort, because if we just let it go and stop pushing, and now is the time to push harder than ever, not to let up and say the media is going to handle it, because what the reporters were basically looking for was one story, and then they would go on to the next thing. And I was telling them, no, I can't turn over my sources to you. They're not going to speak to you because you cannot afford them whistleblower protection, okay? And, you know, that you're just going to have to see. And I gave them all kinds of different indicators that we were telling them the truth. The Grassley letter really sealed it. And the bottom line is there are several things where what we have been saying from day one ends up keep getting corroborated. And as more and more of this story unfolds, what we have been saying all along for the past month continues to be corroborated. And so essentially what Mike and I are doing at this point is we're thinking new and creative ways to present this. And also we are keeping an eye both on the Senate to make sure that it doesn't die the death there. And we're also making sure that the reporters continue to report on this. And the ace in the hole that we have on this to maintain this momentum is we still have our guys.
Yeah, the key is that you certainly want to maintain control here. Obviously, you don't want to let the mainstream media do what they do with this and let this get away from you. You want to continue to hold on to this thing and handle it the way you've been handling it, no question about it. I'm looking forward to see how this thing continues to gain steam, because you're doing an amazing job with it, and we'll have you back on, you know, week after week after week to continue to follow this and discuss this with you. It's
beginning,
right?
And you know, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, it's powerful stuff, ladies and gentlemen, and you're hearing it on Armed American Radio with
it's
David Kodria. Yeah, George, it's huge. This is a huge story. It has legs. We know that you're working on this. We know you're neck deep in this. Where can people go to see what it is you're writing about this, David, and keep abreast of this? What's the website you want to give out?
DavidKodria.com is a domain that I bought that will redirect people to my most current Examiner column, Gun Rights Examiner, or waronguns.blogspot.com. And if you go to either one of those, on War on Guns, I have a little icon for Project Gunwalker, which is what I satirically named it after the ATF's Project Gunrunner,
right,
because of the allegations of guns being walked across the border. So either one of those, davidkodria.com or waronguns.blogspot.com, will get you there.
All right, and Kodria, that's D-A-V-I-D, David Kodria, C-O-D-R-E-A, ladies and gentlemen, .com.
Yes, and real quickly, also, Sipsey Street Irregulars. If you put that into Google, you'll find it. Sipsey Street Irregulars, S-I-P-S-E-Y, and that's Mike's site.
Okay, well, we're going to give this thing as much as we can.
A violation of trust.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I said the shocking thing about this is the huge violation of trust that this is. You know, we're trusting the ATF to stop illegal gun sales, which is part of their whole charter, and they're just flat out not doing it.
And, well, with the misinformation that the media is putting out right now about, and with the help, again, it's pushing this political agenda, doing everything they can to corroborate the Democrats over there, the anti-gunners' statements about, you know, the 8,500 gun shops, David, along the border, supplying the Mexican cartels, this, that, and the other thing. And you've got the ATF there telling Houston gun dealers and others to allow these straw purchases, and those guns are making it across the border, apparently, under the watchful eye of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Expletives. David Kodria, thank you so much for joining us. You'll come back on next week, the week after, and continue to keep us abreast of this, right?
Mark and George, it's been a pleasure speaking with both of you tonight.
Thank you very much. George
Hill,
the Mad Ogre.
And we're up to 40 degrees in here.
Hey, yeah, there you go. Keep the gore rising, will you? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Walters, each and every week. George Hill, the Mad Ogre, thanks for tuning in with us and checking it out and giving us your incredible insight. We appreciate it. Sorry we ran out of a little bit of time there. That's a great story on the ATF, George.
It is. It's important that we all never forget this.
You better believe it. This is the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
Lisa, this is Georgia. Do you know of any good Christian computer games I can buy Molly for Christmas?
Yes, my Jimmy just loves his Charlie Church Mouse computer game with animated Bible stories. He's having a blast learning about sizes, shapes, colors, math, spelling, and more. It's great for kids ages 2 through 8. Go to inspiredgames.com and use their store locator.
Did you say inspiredgames.com?
Yes, Charlie Church Mouse is at inspiredgames.com.
LB games are available at participating Walmart stores. Available at Family, Lifeway, Mardell, and Berean Christian stores, too.
Good, clean, fun.
Hello, this is Steve Down, author of Financially Fit for Life. Several years ago, following a business failure, I found myself in more than $1 million in personal debt. The very thought of bankruptcy put me into despair. But then I realized that if I had the ability to get $1 million in debt, that same ability could get me out of debt. I then put together a plan to pay off my debt within 5 years without filing bankruptcy. I made an amazing discovery. The plan that would pay off my debt in 5 years was the same plan that could retire me in 5 years. But you don't have to take my word for it, because I'm willing to send you my free CD that has proven to thousands how they could do the same, debt-free and financially free, all within 5 years. I know you too can do the same. Because it's free, you have nothing to lose but your debt, and you have a lifetime of financial health and wealth to gain. Call now for your free CD at 888-7-WAKE-UP. That's 888-7-WAKE-UP. 888-792-5387.